All praise is due to Yahweh. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, thankfulness is the response of the redeemed. Let's say it again. Thankfulness is the response of the redeemed. Beloved, I want to pass it, and hopefully several of you, or if not all of you, will agree with me that one of the things that those of us who call ourselves sons and daughters of God are woefully short of doing is this thing called giving thanks. Somehow it seems like we have a problem expressing our gratitude and our gratefulness to God and to the people who God has placed in our lives to help us be what we are. Thanksgiving, my brothers and sisters, is the spoke, if you will, in the wheel of giving and receiving that causes a balance and brings into stability that which nature itself demands to be effective, and that is the cycle of giving and receiving. Whether you want to believe it or not, none of us is self-made. None of us has made it to where we are or who we are by ourselves. Somebody, someone helped you, someone believed in you, someone invested in you, someone spent time with you, someone nurtured you to be where you are and who you are today. I wish I had two witnesses in the house of God. Matter of fact, when we refuse to give thanks, when we refuse to acknowledge that we are not an island unto ourselves, that who we are and what we are did not come about by us picking ourselves up by our own bootstraps, when we refuse to recognize that it is a good thing to give thanks, we actually poison our atmosphere and we stifle the generative and the life-giving power of nature. Because God made us, brothers and sisters, to be interdependent and totally dependent on God. We are interdependent on each other and totally dependent on God. And thanksgiving is the act that recognizes and acknowledges and establishes the fact that we are not self-made. I wish somebody would listen to me. No wonder even the secular world, understanding this dynamic of giving and receiving and that cycle of giving and receiving to give and receive, and the cycle is sparked by this act of thanksgiving, carved out a day, if not but once in a year, that all people, at least in this nation, will step aside from all of the chaos and the going and comings and the ups and downs of life and reflect on where they are, who they are. And no matter what has happened to you throughout the year, there is a reason, if not but one, to say thank you. As we intrude the psalmist hymn this morning, found in the 107th division of the Psalms, and the first and second verses, the psalmist, my brother, calls us, those of us who are called sons and daughters of God, those of us who claim that we have been redeemed by God, he calls us to the duty of thankfulness. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better be thankful. Matter of fact, it bothers me that those of us who are of African ancestry, whose history is tinted by the fingerprints of the hand of God's deliverance, those of us who should be willing and ready at all times to vociferously and emotively express with our bodies and with our voice how grateful we are. We are the ones, at least some of us, who have bought into this religiosity that frowns against the physical and emotional expression of praise through the vociferous vocalization of thanksgiving. We have bought into some other people's idea of praise and worship that tells us that it is not intelligent to use your body and to use your voice and express praises to our God. But somehow we don't have a problem, Sister Adams, going to the Saints game, sitting there watching them throw some pig skin around and wave our hand and shout and throw things around and say, who that? But when it comes to our God, to the one who has brought us through the dark dungeons, to the rugged crevices and terrains of life, when it comes to acknowledging him, we are so somber. We are so sedated. We are so bougie. We have a problem saying amen. We have a problem waving our hand. We have a problem clapping our hand. But I stopped by to tell somebody today, as we are going through this season of reflectiveness and thanksgiving, that thankfulness is the duty and the response of the redeemed. The psalmist says to us that it is a good thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I don't care what your educational experience taught you. I don't care who have told you that you are too sophisticated, that you have graduated to a certain degree and a certain standard in a certain neighborhood. I stopped by to tell you that the psalmist is unequivocal when he says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to praise the Most High God. In the 107th division of the Psalms, my brothers and sisters, the psalmist calls our attention, to five deliberate declarations of why it is necessary to praise the Lord. How many deliberate declarations, everybody? Five. The first deliberate declaration that the psalmist calls our attention to is what I call the request to give thanks. Everybody say the request. In Psalms 107 verse 1, the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks." In other words, you didn't make it where you are by yourself. Don't get it twisted. Yeah, I know your money is good and your house is nice and your car is big and you got a title, but you didn't make it to where you are by yourself. Matter of fact, it wasn't the alarm clock that woke you up this morning. It was the hand of God that tapped you on your shoulder and breathed into you another breath for today's asking, today's living. And so it is a good thing. The psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You got to give thanks." The psalmist says that we must give thanks. It is a request that the psalmist is making when he says, "Oh, give thanks." In other words, you have to have an attitude of gratitude. Oh, give thanks. But not only does the psalmist give us this deliberate declaration of the request to give thanks, but the psalmist gives us the second deliberate declaration of the recipient of our thankfulness. Somebody say the recipient of our thankfulness. The psalmist is very intentional, Elder Prochet, and very deliberate when he uses the name Yahweh. When you look in your Bible in Psalms 107 and verse 1, you will see, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." The word there, the name there that is designated for God is the name Yahweh and not Elohim. Well, why doesn't the psalmist use Elohim, preacher? Because Elohim is the general, the generic designation of God. Anything or anybody can be an Elohim. But Yahweh is the singular, direct, and exclusive designation of the God, the Elohim, who is the creator of heaven, earth, the sea, and everything that is in them and will ever be in them. So the heathens have their Elohim, and the Buddhists have their Elohim, and the Hare Krishnas have their Elohim. The Muslims have their, I wish somebody was listening to me, but there is only one Yahweh, and his name is called Wonderful. Is somebody listening to me? And so the psalmist said, don't get it twisted. I'm not telling you to give thanks to just any God. I know for some of you, your house has become your God and your children have become your God and your spouse has become your God and your money has become your God. But I want you to just reflect for a minute. Think back from January 1st to today, December 1st, and reflect on everything that you have re-experienced, and you will realize that it wasn't your mama, your daddy, your husband, your wife, your house, your car. It was Yahweh, the one who speaks and life comes about, and the one who stops storms and stops rain. If you are going to give thanks to anybody, he said, oh, give thanks to Yahweh. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to give him thanks. Yahweh is the recipient of our thankfulness. The third deliberate declaration that the psalmist gives is the rationale for our thankfulness. He said, I'm going to give you the request, give thanks. I'm going to give you the recipient, give thanks to Yahweh. And then I'm going to give you the rationale, the reason why you should give thanks. I wish somebody was listening to me. He said, because Yahweh is good. I can just stop here and say, let's all get up, shout, give thanks, praise, hallelujah, and go home. Elder Landry, because the message can be succinct and sufficient when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me. My soul cries out. Is there two people in here who's not ashamed to say Yahweh is good? The psalmist say, oh, give thanks. I'm making a request to you. Since you don't recognize that it is important, the necessity of giving thanks, I am requesting you, I'm reminding you, I'm giving you a reason to recognize that thanksgiving is in order, and you should give it not to just anybody, but to Yahweh. And let me tell you the reason you need to give it to him, because he woke you up this morning. Somebody say he's good. But not only does the psalmist say Yahweh is good, oh bless his name, but he said his chesed, his mercy, his unmerited favor does not run out. You see, your English Bible, oh bless the Lord, your English Bible said his mercy is forevermore. But the Hebrew is a little different. It says his mercy doesn't run out. In other words, he takes it and give it out when you mess up, and then he takes it and give it out when you mess up again. And then he takes it and give it out when you mess up again. If I go three times, he takes it and give it out when you mess up. I said the fourth time, he takes it and give it back when you mess up the 50th time. He takes it and gives it when you mess up. I wish somebody would hear me today. His mercy never runs out. Is there two people in here who's not on their 20th mercy, not on their 50th mercy, they're on their 1,000th mercy, and God hasn't run out yet? Stand up on your seat and say, his mercy. The psalmist said the reason why you should give thanks to God is not only that he is good, but his mercy Oh, bless his name. I was telling the church on Wednesday, I'm so glad for mercies that don't run out. No wonder the psalmist say that mercy and goodness are like two hound dogs that chases me and I can't outrun them. No matter where I turn and how I try to run, they run me over. And when I'm on my back looking up, I'm staring in the eyes of mercy and goodness. Turn to somebody and say, it'll never run out. He said, the rationale for your thanksgiving is because God is good and his mercy never runs out. In this song, the psalmist breaks the song up into four stanzas. And in these four stanzas, he paints a picture of five dynamic rescue and deliverance that God does for his people that warrants thanksgiving. The first is, he said, God is able and has delivered from bad and wicked and oppressive leaders. Okay. He says, God, verse 3, brings his people from the lands. He's painting a picture of a people who have been deported. They have been overrun by other nations. War has taken place. And they have been captives of war. And they have been taken to a foreign land. I wish somebody was listening to me. They've been used and abused. But God delivered them out of the hands of the oppressors. He said, God brings them in from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Stay in the passage with me. We're going to go through Psalms 107 and verse 1 through 39. He said, God is worthy of our worship and our praise and our thanksgiving because God has delivered from oppressors. Has anybody experienced any oppression lately? Somebody on your job? Somebody in your neighborhood? Somebody, a landlord? Somebody who you have to give, be accountable to, that have abused you and misused you, and somehow you were wondering, God, how am I going to do it? And all of a sudden, deliverance came. The psalmist said, God is able to deliver it from oppressors. Okay, well, I'm glad that that's not your experience. The second deliverance that the psalmist paints, the second picture of deliverance that the psalmist paints, is found in verses 5 through 9. He said, God has power to deliver and has delivered from calamities that bring famine and thirst and hunger. I wish three people would say amen to that. In other words, when you didn't know where the next meal was going to come from, or when you didn't know where your next lunch or breakfast or dinner was going to come from, when that cupboard was empty and there was no money in the bank and you didn't have any assistance from the government and you were wondering, God, how am I going to feed my family today? God, how am I going to take care of my children today? The Bible says that somehow you didn't go to bed hungry, that God was able to provide food and able to provide drink. He said, because of that, you and I need to be thankful. I remember when we were at Andrews University, I'm talking about God providing a meal. We were poor. They moved the two, the last O and the R. We just had one P and an O. Yeah, we were poor. And we were on food stamps, Elder. We were on food stamps. I'm talking about God providing. And the thing about food stamps is you got to go every 6 months to take the same papers that you took last 6 months. Nothing's changed, but you got to take it. They got to question you. They got to look through it. And I remember that I had a test. We live in Niles, Michigan. And I was going to school in Barron Springs. And I had the appointment with my social worker. I had a sick wife. My wife was sick at that time. And I had three hungry children. And I called the lady and told her, I said, ma'am, I said, I got a test. I said, but as soon as I get out of class, I'm going to make it there. Got out of class, got in my car and rushed down there, speeding, hoping I don't get stopped and get a ticket. And when I got there, Elder Landry, I knocked on the lady's door. And she walked out and said, Mr. Wiegard, you are 15 minutes too late. And you have to come back next week. And I said, ma'am, I say, I'm a student at Andrews University. I say, I'm a pastoral student. I'm at the seminary. I'm studying to be a pastor to preach the gospel. I say, I got a sick wife and 300 children, man. Can you please? And the woman said, sir, I told you you were late and we will have to reschedule you for next week. And Elder Landry, my Jesus started leaving me a little bit. And my T-Ron started filling in, and right there, I'm talking about deliverance from oppressors and deliverance from hunger. A African American lady walked through the door. She must have heard us because our voices started getting a little overpitched, you know. And she walked out and she looked at me, and my eye caught her, and she did like this, and I walked away. And went to her. She said, come in my office. She said, they're trying to get you off this assistance. So they're doing everything to get you upset so you can leave. And then they'll write a report. She said, what do you need? I'm talking about when you need food. He provides it. I said, ma'am, I said, I got three little children. She says, okay, you don't have to tell me any story. She said, what do you need to hold you over till next week? And I said, man, we got to save a lot right near my house. If you can just give me $25, I'll be able to get enough beans and enough stuff for my family until. And she pulled out $50. And said, Mr. Wiegard, come back next week and make your appointment. The psalmist says, I said, the psalmist says he takes care of the hungry and the thirsty and those that are oppressed by powerful, wicked leaders. He says, so that's a reason for you to give thanks. The third reason that the psalmist gives, or picture of God's deliverance that the psalmist paints, is that God has power to deliver and has delivered from sickness. Psalms 107, between verses 17 and verses 20. He said, when sickness came, when that diagnosis from the doctor was pronounced and it reached your ears, when you felt like everything was falling apart, when you didn't know what to say and what to think because you had done everything right and you took care of your body physically, you ate right, you lived right, and somehow you heard that you had something that was supposed to take you out of here. He said, God came through. I wish there were three people in here who can celebrate with me that God is able to do more abundantly above anything that you can think or ask. Hey, can I push the envelope? I'm just going to give you my testimony today. The reason why Elder Proche said that, I said on Wednesday, if God doesn't heal my eye, it don't mean me nothing, because I know he's able to do it. Let me tell you something. I had a sick wife. We're Andrews University. And my wife is having these seizures. And she's having 3-4 seizures a week. And for 9 years, we've had to deal with that. And it seems like the more we had children, because we didn't know that it was her giving birth that was triggering, and the more she had children, the worse the seizure got. My wife couldn't drive. I had to go to work, go to school. And one day, my wife's doctor was in South Bend, Indiana. And we left Niles to go for her appointment, Sister Adams. When we got to the clinic, her doctor was not there. But she had a substitute doctor. Oh, bless his name. 9 years we've been dealing with this, spending money on medication, going back and forth to the hospital. Nobody has ever asked us this question. We got in there, and the lady at the front desk says, the doctor's not here today, but we weren't going to cancel your visit because she sent a substitute. Oh, bless his name. We walked in and the substitute looked at my wife's chart. And the first question he asked was, have you guys ever thought about surgery? I said, surgery? I said, nobody's ever told us about surgery. He said, I have a friend at the University of Chicago Medical Center who delves in this kind of a brain injury. My wife got injured in an auto accident when she was 9 years old. And this thing started reoccurring when she started having children. He said, this man does this kind of surgery a dime a dozen. But your wife has to go through some battery of tests. And it will take about a year for them to make sure that everything is right and she's the right candidate. Because the part of her brain that is injured is where her emotions are. Oh, bless his name. And there's a chance that when we do the surgery, she may not smile, laugh, or cry. She will lose all sense of her emotion. We went to University of Chicago and they started doing the tests. Oh, bless his name. And then the doctor came back after one of the tests and told us, Mr. and Mrs. Weegar, we got good news. What's the good news? The body is fearfully and wonderfully made. The part of your wife's brain where her emotions are centered, somehow because of this trauma, the brain has reworked that part to another part of her brain. And when we do the surgery, she will not have a problem that we thought she would have. Can I fast forward this? Hey. The surgery went through. You see my wife here. Does she look like she's lost some emotion? My wife is driving. I wish somebody would hear me. The Thomas said, God is able to heal sickness. God is able and has healed sickness. Is that two people in here who's not ashamed to say, I was sick and he healed me. I was diagnosed with something and he delivered me. Please wave your hand and say, he's a healer. The psalmist said, the first reason why you need to be thankful and be vociferous and emotional in your thanksgiving is because God is able to deliver and has delivered from oppressors. Number two, God is able to deliver and has delivered from hunger and thirst. Number three, God is able to deliver and has delivered from sickness. And then he says the next reason why you need to be thankful is because God is able to deliver and has delivered from imprisonment. Okay, I know some of you are saying, well, you know, I ain't never been to jail, but that's not what the psalmist is talking about. He's talking about being imprisoned by demonic spirits and demonic habits and stuff that you thought you couldn't overcome and habits and that you thought you couldn't break, that had you imprisoned, you were enchained. The psalmist says God is able to break those chains. Is there two people in here who can testify that I have been delivered? I am redeemed, that I had something that was a monkey. No, it was a gorilla on my back. But I thank God today that he has taken it away. Hey, I'm not all that I need to be, but thank God I am nowhere near what I used to be. And when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Is there two people in here who don't have a shame praising him? Fire your neighbor and say, I've been delivered. The psalmist says that the fifth reason why you need to be thankful and the picture that he paints of God's deliverance is that God has power and that God has delivered from the wrath of nature. If you read verses 22 to 29, he says, God delivers from storms. Is anybody in here that lives in Baton Rouge? Is there anybody in here who's been here since 2016? Is there anybody in here from New Orleans? Is God able to deliver from storms? Does God have power over nature? Isn't he able to say peace, be still, and the waters are calm? The psalmist gives this description of people traveling over the high seas to go and do traffic in other lands. And while they're on the sea begins to get rough. The psalmist said that the waves are like mountains, and when it goes up, the ship begins to go to and fro, and it looks like it's going into a valley in a deep. He said, and they cry unto the Lord, and he heard them. I know you may not have been in a physical storm. You may not have been in a physical or natural storm, but some of us in here, if the truth be told, we can testify that we've had storms in our lives, storms in our family, storms in our marriages, and storms in our finances, and storms in our children, but God has delivered them. High five somebody, say he's able to deliver from storms. The psalmist says that the rationale for this request to this recipient called Yahweh is because he can deliver it from oppressors, because he has delivered from hunger, because he has delivered from sickness, because he has delivered from prison, and because he has delivered from storms. And then, Elder Landry, the psalmist injects a refrain. And we find this refrain in four different places in the Psalms. And it takes us to our next deliberate declaration. The fourth deliberate declaration that the psalmist gives is the respondent to the request of praise. In verse 8, he says, oh, bless his name, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Hey, wait a minute. Let's move back to verse 2. He says the respondent to this request that is intended for a recipient called Yahweh, for the rationale of all of his deliverance, is the redeemed. He says, let the redeemed say so. Now, wait a minute. Somebody's saying, well, preacher, what do you mean? The psalmist is saying, when you give thanks, your thanksgiving should be vociferous. It should be from your mouth. It should be loud. It should be emotive. I know somebody told you when you come into church, you are hurting God's ear, so you shouldn't be making any noise. Don't be waving your hand. It doesn't take all that, but you don't know what I've been through. If you had any clue the hell that I've been through, that God has delivered me from, you can't tell me how to praise him when the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Or that two redeemed people in here today, somebody shout, it is so. I didn't want to go there, but the Holy Spirit is leading me there. See, here's the problem. Here's the problem, brothers and sisters. We have bought into this European concept of worship. This worship that is only cognitive. This worship that is sedate. This worship that sits and reflect by rationalizing what God has done. If I stood here and tell you stories about how God has delivered me, that little girl called Faith that you see walking around here, we were told she'll be brain dead. We were told to offer her organs. Donate her organs. And here is Faith graduating from Oakwood University. Don't tell me what God can do and then restrict me of how I should praise him and thank him. The Bible says it is a good thing to praise the Lord and to talk about his goodness. He says, let the redeemed say so. Okay, I know you've only been redeemed from sin, but there are some of us in here who've been redeemed from crack, who've been redeemed from prostitution, who've been redeemed from homosexuality. I wish somebody would hear me. There's some of us here who've been redeemed from anger, who've been redeemed from lying, who've been redeemed from, is there two people in here who can shout, I have been redeemed? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Somebody say hallelujah. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then he says, Milton, he said, maybe they're not hearing me. So in verse number 8, when he talk about God who has delivered from oppressors in verse 3, and who has delivered from hunger in verse 5, he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy toward the children of men. And then as if we didn't get it, when he talked about the God who delivered from sickness, he gets to verse 10 or verse 9. And he says, oh, that man would praise the Lord. I'm sorry, verse 15. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. He gets to verse 21. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. He gets to verse 31. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. In other words, I am talking about praising God, but I got people that are so sophisticated, they're just sitting like a bum on the log. They can't even think back 2 days and realize that they should have been dead. They should have been in an insane asylum. They should have been in a crazy house with all that they've gone through, but God delivered them. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Is that three people in here who don't have any shame saying, he's been too good to me? Somebody say hallelujah. That word in Psalms 107 in verse 1, the psalmist said, excuse me, I like the English Bible, but I got to go to the Hebrew because it just make it a little different. He said, Hoda Adonai Ektov. He said, praise Yahweh. Oh, Hada means to throw. In other words, Elder Landry, it is that idea from which we get the word testimony. You see, a testimony was about someone who you saw do something. And usually it was something wrong. And so the Bible says, one person could not convict on the testimony. It had to be two or three. And the people who were testifying were the ones who pick up the stone to first throw it at the person who they say, I wish somebody was listening to me. They saw committing the crime. This is the reason of the yada. So the psalmist says, ha, da, Adonai Ektov. He said, throw it at God. Convict him for all of the good that has happened in your life. So I don't know if you want to convict him today, but I stopped by to say that the healing that happened to my wife, he did it. The healing that happened to my daughter, he did it. The healing that happened in my life, he did it. Is there two other people in here who can get up on their feet and say, I'm going to throw it at him. My feeding, he did it. My education, he did it. My life, he did it. My husband, he did it. My wife, he did it. My children, he did it. Turn to your neighbor and say, throw it at him. He said, oh, that man will throw it at him. We always give other people credit for the stuff that God has done in our lives. And we come in the house of God on this Thanksgiving season, and we don't even have the passion to throw it at him. But if I'm going to do it all by myself, the Bible says, throw it at him. Hey, hey, hey. He says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I just want to share this as I get ready to close. The Bible says in Psalms 146, praise ye the Lord. See, the King James says, praise ye the Lord. But the Hebrew word is hallelujah. And it actually means let us praise the Lord. In other words, the person who given the command cannot give it without including themselves. So when I say hallelujah, I want to hear you say, let us praise the Lord. Psalms 146, as the psalmist gets ready to close the hymn book of the Bible, Elder Jones, he begins Psalms 146 by saying, hallelujah. He ends Psalms 146 by saying, hallelujah. He begins Psalms 147 by saying, hallelujah. He ends Psalms 147 by saying, hallelujah. He begins Psalms 148 by saying, hallelujah. He ends Psalms 148 by saying, hallelujah. He begins Psalms 149 by saying, hallelujah. He ends Psalms 149 by saying, hallelujah. He begins Psalms 150 by saying, hallelujah. Then just in case you didn't get it in 146, 147, 148, 149, the psalmist ends 150 by saying, call Hanashama to hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. I want to thank him for all he's done for me. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can only say that God has been good to me. Has he been good to you? Has he saved you? Has he redeemed you? Has he turned your life around? Then let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to thank him for his mercy. I just want to thank him for his grace. I just want to thank him for his peace that passes understanding. And I just want to ask somebody in here today, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he change you? Won't he turn you around? Won't he fix you? Won't he make it right? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Yahweh, we bless you today. We thank you, God. We are throwing it at you. Your chesed, your unmerited favor. God, we hadad you today. We thank you. The doors of the church are open right now. Somebody want to come and say, God, I just want to thank you. Maybe that's all you want to say. God, I just want to thank you. God, I just want to thank you. You've been too good to me. God, I just want to thank you. God, I just want to thank you. God, I just want to thank you. Who's it? God, I just want to thank you. God, I just want to thank you. That's all I'm coming. I'm just coming to say thank you. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I just want to thank you, God. I want to thank you for my life. I want to thank you for my children. I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you for my job. I want to thank you for my finances. I want to thank you, God. I'm not coming for anything else. I just want to say thank you today. Because you have redeemed me. Is there anybody else here who wants to say thank you? You just want to say thank you, God. I'm like one of those 10 lepers, the one that came back. I'm just coming to say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Then I'm going to open the doors of the church again and invite somebody who's looking for a church home. Somebody's looking for a church home. You're looking for a church home. You want to cast your lot with this church. Somebody wants to be baptized. Somebody want to recommit. Somebody want to say yes to Jesus. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The doors of the church are open. Would you come? Give your hand to the preacher and the elders and give your heart to God. He's able to do more abundantly above anything that you can think or ask. Hallelujah. God, we thank you today. You've been so good. Thankfulness is the response of the redeemed. And we say thank you today in Jesus' name.